time with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoen. We're back again for another special program for the WBAI Fund Drive. Did you miss out the opportunity to contribute to WBAI and have our gift to you, Barack Obama, False Hope and Sure Change? For your donation of $60 to WBAI. That's $60 donation to WBAI, and the number to call is 212-209-2950. Again, 212-209-2950. We want to thank all of you who contributed, and again, urge each and every one of you, this is the last opportunity. Today we're on from 5 to 6, that's 2 to 3 on the East Coast, 212-209-2950. We're going to play a lengthy excerpt from the part of this 11-hour, 15-minute CD, and this section is called Barack Obama, Not a Dime's Worth of Difference. You will see how timely it is. But first, let's have a word from Ralph, and then we're going to go to the excerpt. Ralph?
Well, brothers and sisters, this is an intensive examination of the actual role of Barack Obama as an instrument of U.S. imperial policy and of the banker's agenda at home. And it takes on a particular urgency for all of us, as you will see, brothers and sisters, not only from the DVD or the CD, I should say, but out of the reality that Obama has now tapped the head of Cheney's assassination team to run the Afghan war. This is the article that appeared in InfoShop, and it was confirmed in the Minneapolis Post. McChrystal, who has been put in charge of the war in Afghanistan by Barack Obama, was in fact the director of a secret assassination team, the Joint Special Operations Command, that was reporting directly to Dick Cheney and only Dick Cheney. The head of it was Lieutenant General Stanley McChrystal. He's just been named by Obama the new commander in charge of the war in Afghanistan. We will amplify the implications of all of this. At the same time,
Ralph, it's the U.S.-made war in Afghanistan, the U.S. assault on Afghanistan.
Well, indeed, but I wanted to mention that the you may recall that in our broadcast last week, we were referring to the fact, which is documented in this CD, that these special forces assassination units were targeting civilians on an intensive scale, such that even the puppet president of Afghanistan had called for an end to it, and he was told that Afghan sovereignty means nothing, and that the U.S. will persist in the policies that have led to the massacre of villages across Afghanistan. Today we learned that the U.S. intends to place the special U.S. envoy, Zalmay Khalilzad, Bush's ambassador to Kabul, as, quote, the new CEO of Afghanistan, a role that would be independent of parliamentary oversight. Brothers and sisters, the DVD and the series that we've done, the series that we've done, the 13-part series, False Hope and Short Change, is never better confirmed in its incredibly serious implications for all of us than in the current policies of this administration with respect to torture, with respect to repression at home, with respect to the banker gangster capture of the economy as they destroy it, and above all with the imperial agenda, and amplified by the meetings between Obama and Netanyahu. Obama, I cannot tell Israel not to fear Iran. Obama tells Netanyahu he has an Iran timetable, that is to say, talks will only be allowed for a certain period of time, and then the Israelis will be turned loose, brothers and sisters.
Again, 212-209-2950, your $60 donation contribution to listener-sponsored radio WBAI. Michael, let's go to the CD, Barack Obama, False Hope and Sure Change. This is the eighth segment on the CD called Barack Obama. This is the fourth segment on the CD, Barack Obama, Not a Dime's Worth of Difference. Mm-hmm.
Ralph, we must start with his comments about Israel, because that really shows his framework, his alignment with the Zionist myth. He says explicitly, quote, "We know that the establishment of Israel was just and necessary, rooted in centuries of struggle and decades of patient work. But 60 years later, we know that we cannot relent, we cannot yield, and as president, I will never compromise when it comes to Israel's security." Ralph?
Well, Maya, part of what he has done at this APEC gathering is to reiterate themes that Barack Obama and his array of ruling class advisors, from Anthony Lake to the Brzezinski brothers, to this whole security apparatus which has been associated with both the Republican and Democratic parties. What he has done here is to reiterate, as he says in his own words, this is a commitment that both John McCain and I share, because support for Israel in this country goes beyond party. Part of our commitment in speaking up is to sustain Israel's security when it is at risk. And I don't think any of us will be satisfied that America's recent foreign policy has made Israel more secure. Hamas controls Gaza. Hezbollah has tightened its grip on southern Lebanon and is flexing its muscles in Beirut. And because of the conduct of the war in Iraq, Iran, which always posed the greater threat to Israel, is emboldened and poses the greatest strategic challenge to the United States and Israel in the Middle East in a generation. Iraq is unstable. Al-Qaeda has stepped up its recruitment. Israel's quest for peace with its neighbors has stalled, despite the heavy burdens borne by the Israeli people. And America is isolated in the region, more isolated, reducing our strength and jeopardizing Israel's safety. That is the scenario and the rationale for shifting the focus on multiple occupation, multiple 100,000 occupation of Iraq, which, as with Vietnam, is seen as unsustainable. The resistance is handing imperialism a strategic defeat, and so they are sounding the alarm and the necessity to sustain imperialism by expanding it beyond Iraq and by cutting back in Iraq to permit that. The question, Obama states, is how we move forward. He said, those who would lay all of the problems of the Middle East at the doorstep of Israel, as if the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is at the root of trouble in the region, are wrong. They blame the Middle East's only democracy for a region's extremism, and they offer a false promise that abandoning a stalwart ally is somehow the path to strength. It never has, it never was, and it never will be. Our alliance is based on shared interests. Those who threaten Israel threaten the United States. Israel has always faced these threats on the front lines, and I will bring to the White House an unshakable commitment to Israel's security, and that starts with ensuring Israel's qualitative military advantage. I will ensure that Israel can defend itself from any threat, from Gaza to Tehran. Defense cooperation between the United States and Israel is a model of success, but it must be deepened. As president, I will implement a memorandum of understanding that provides $30 billion to Israel, investments to Israel's security that will not be tied to any other nation. We must immediately approve the foreign aid request for 2009, and going forward, we will enhance our cooperation with Israel on missiles. We will export military equipment to our ally Israel. I will stand up for Israel's right to defend itself in the United Nations and around the world. And he continues, we must isolate Hamas until they renounce terrorism, recognize Israel's right to exist, abide by all past agreements. There is no room at a negotiating table for terrorist organizations. And that is why I opposed holding elections in 2006 if Hamas were on the ballot. The Israelis and the Palestinian Authority warned us against holding these elections, but the Bush administration pressed ahead. And the result is a Gaza controlled by Hamas, with rockets raining down on Israel. The Palestinian people must understand that progress will not come through false prophets of extremism or the corrupt use of foreign aid. The United States must stand by Palestinians who are committed to cracking down on terror. I urge Arab governments to take steps to normalize relations with Israel and to fulfill their responsibility against extremists and to provide support for President Abbas and Prime Minister Fayyad. Egypt has to cut off smuggling of weapons into Gaza. And he lays out an agenda of escalated military operations in the region, a total license for further operations by the Zionist apparatus with the full support of the American Imperium.
Ralph, he accepts every false notion about the Zionist state. One, that it came out of centuries of struggle and it is a deserved homeland for Jews. Also, that it is the Middle East's only democracy. That's how he refers to the Zionist state. Middle East's only democracy. A country that is recognized even by the representative of imperialism, the United Nations, as an apartheid state. This is significant because he recognizes Israel as a theocratic state, a state for the Jews. Over and over, he refers to a Jewish state of Israel. Most importantly, he talks about the undivided Jerusalem as a capital of the Jewish state. Ralph?
Maya, the articulation of the ideological rationale for Zionism is the linchpin of imperial policy now for very much since Franklin Roosevelt, since approximately 1940, when the American imperialism determined to displace British and French imperialism in the region, and Franklin Roosevelt informed Churchill that he would be taking on the responsibility, as he called it, for King Saud and for Saudi Arabia. The U.S. was displacing British and French imperialism. The Zionist state was its shock troop. So the issue here for Barack Obama's articulation of policy is he's not merely addressing AIPAC. He's not merely addressing the Zionist apparatus. He is, as he has been for since his political career began, articulating for the ruling class its agenda and his capacity to give it a fresh face and a credibility which will buy it a little time. But when we examine what that entails, we see that, as with each democratic regime, it may oppose, for example, with regard to the Kennedy brothers in Indochina, massive 500,000 occupying troops that are losing a war. But its replacement for that is killer squads and Green Berets and Rangers and Phoenix programs and the strategic hamlets and the hunting down of by death squad operations of those who defend the national interests, the economic interests, the social interests of the oppressed, who will be labeled as terrorists or communists or subversives or whatever, and targeted for extermination, nothing short of that. That is the agenda that the Democratic Party has persisted in adopting more efficiently and more explicitly and counterposed to the bogging down with deficit finance, massive troop occupations. They want counter-revolution on the cheap in an age of declining profits and a crisis of capital. To understand Barack Obama is to understand the murderous agenda of imperialism and its total subordination to the necessity of the ruling class to oppress our people at home and to expand the imperium abroad. This speech is an articulation of that agenda.
Ralph, let us go back to his words. As he says, quote, any agreement with the Palestinian people must preserve Israel's identity as a Jewish state with secure, recognized, and defensible borders. Jerusalem will remain the capital of Israel, and it must remain undivided. Here, as I mentioned before, is his full acceptance of the Zionist project, because we know that defensible borders means imprisoning the Palestinians in mini Bantustans of which they have no control except perhaps to determine when the garbage is collected and how they are policed in cooperation with the Israeli security forces.
It does more than that too, Maya, because what is Jerusalem as the capital of the Zionist state? First of all, East Jerusalem is, in fact, populated by the Palestinian population itself. But secondly, East Jerusalem and Jerusalem itself has been expanded virtually to Bethlehem and virtually to Hebron. The surrounding villages, the surrounding areas, including Abu Dis, are all now incorporated in Greater Jerusalem, characterized by the settlements, characterized by the security walls, characterized by the superhighways from which Palestinians are banned. It is a strategic hamlet modeled on Vietnam and applied to the Palestinian areas. And the real intent here is to disperse the Palestinian population through attrition, driving them out, suppressing them, and through attrition, reducing their numbers and establishing essentially absorption of the area within the Zionist apparatus.
And, Ralph, you cannot go from the north of the West Bank to the south of West Bank conveniently without passing through Jerusalem. So, it, as you say, it not only expands the Zionist state and expands it to Jordan, in effect, to the banks of the Jordan River, it also divides the north and south part of the West Bank. And remember that the West Bank has been not only populated by settlements, there are closed military zones. But aside from the issue of Jerusalem, aside from the issue of preserving the identity of a Jewish state, Barack Obama accepts all the falsehoods of the Zionist state as its security threats. The threats to Israel start close to home, but they don't end there, meaning close to home, the Palestinians themselves. He says, Syria continues its support for terror and meddling in Lebanon, and Syria has taken dangerous steps in pursuit of weapons of mass destruction, which is why Israeli action was justified to end that threat, referring to the Zionist bombing of a supposed nuclear facility in Syria. I also believe that the United States has a responsibility to support Israel's efforts to renew peace talks with the Syrians. We must never force Israel to the negotiating table, but neither should we ever block negotiations when Israel's leaders decide that they may serve Israeli interests. Ralph?
How does he define these negotiations? Success requires the full enforcement of Security Council Resolution 1701 in Lebanon. The false claim that Syria was responsible for the killing of Rafiq Hariri, and a stop to Syria's support for terror. It's time for this reckless behavior to come to an end, and there is no greater threat to Israel or to the peace and stability of the region than Iran. Now, this audience is made up of Republicans and Democrats, and the enemies of Israel should have no doubt. Regardless of party, Americans stand shoulder to shoulder in our commitment to Israel's security. The Iranian regime supports violent extremists. It challenges us across the region. It pursues a nuclear capability that will spark a dangerous arms race. It raises the prospect of a transfer of nuclear weapons and know-how to terrorists. Its president denies the Holocaust. He threatens to wipe Israel off the map. This danger from Iran is grave. It is real. My goal will be to eliminate this threat. No ambiguity about what Barack Obama means, what Barack Obama represents, what Barack Obama will implement with his criticisms of the number of troops is a private memorandum that has been exposed by Anthony Lake and other security advisors for Barack Obama. They will maintain up to 80,000 troops in Iraq and the maintaining of forward bases in Iraq at pursuant to the surrounding of Iran in Afghanistan and Pakistan and the strangling of Iran's economy with blockade with the military card ready to be played. That is the imperial agenda that Barack Obama articulates in this speech. Quote, we knew in 2002 that Iran supported terrorism. We knew Iran had an illicit nuclear program. We knew Iran posed a grave threat to Israel. But instead of pursuing a strategy to address this threat, instead we invaded and occupied Iraq. When I opposed that war, I warned it would fan the flames of extremism in the Middle East. That's what happened in Iran. The hardliners tightened their grip. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was elected president, and the United States and Israel are less secure. Iran has strengthened its position. It is now enriching uranium. It has stockpiled 150 kilos of low-enriched uranium. Its support for terrorism and threats towards Israel have increased. These are facts. They cannot be denied, and I refuse to continue policies that makes the United States and Israel less secure. Keeping our troops tied down indefinitely in Iraq is not the way to weaken Iran. It is precisely what has strengthened it. It is not a plan for victory. I propose a phased redeployment of our troops from Iraq. We will get out as carefully as we were careless getting in, and we will use all elements of American power to pressure Iran. I will do everything in my power to prevent Iran from attaining nuclear weapons, and that starts with aggressive diplomacy without self-defeating preconditions, but with a clear understanding of our interests. We have no time to waste. We cannot and will not rule out an approach that will prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. That's a clear signal, brothers and sisters, and I will come back to this. We will discuss his long-established threats to bomb Iran. We have tried piecemeal talks. It is time for the United States to lead with a careful preparation, open up lines of communication, build the agenda, coordinate with our allies closely, and evaluate the potential. I have no interest in sitting down with adversaries for the sake of talking. As president, I will lead tough and principled diplomacy at a time and place of my choosing when it advances the interests of the United States. And he continues, Maya.
Ralph, recently the Prime Minister of Great Britain, Brown, came out with a statement that his policy will be for Britain to help build 1,000 nuclear power plants around the world, to take the leadership in the construction of nuclear power plants. We have in Iran the statements of the Iranian leadership, and this goes way back. The Iranian leadership has said that it is opposed to nuclear weapons and that they are building a nuclear power plant. If we look at Iran, Iran is the second largest exporter of oil in the OPEC nations. Yet, Iran does not have adequate refining capacity and is an importer of refined gasoline products. The nuclear power plants in Iran have been to create electrical energy. They have said this all along, and they worked with the Russian leadership to build these nuclear power plants. We have the entire Atomic Oversight Agency saying that there is no evidence of Iran constructing nuclear weapons, aside from the fact that Iran has every right to create its nuclear weapons. Israel itself, according to Jimmy Carter, the former president of the United States, has at least 150 nuclear warheads and probably more. Here we have Barack Obama supporting Iran as a terrorist country, a country that must be stopped at all costs.
Supporting the thesis, Maya.
Yes.
We will present a clear choice to Iran. Abandon your dangerous nuclear program and your support for terror and all threats to Israel, and there will be meaningful incentives, the lifting of sanctions, economic integration. And if you refuse, we will ratchet up the pressure. If Iran fails to change course when presented with this choice, it will be clear to the people of Iran and to the world that the Iranian regime is the author of its own isolation. That will strengthen our hand with Russia and China as we insist on stronger sanctions in the Security Council. And we will work with Europe, Japan, and the Gulf states to find every avenue to isolate the Iranian regime. Cutting off loan guarantees, expanding financial sanctions, banning the export of refined petroleum, boycotting all firms associated with the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. So, indeed, you see the agenda. Starve them out, strangle their economy. A blockade is an act of war, brothers and sisters. A blockade has always been understood to be an act of war. This is an act of war. This is an agenda for war. This is the formula for dismantling a government, dismantling a regime, and indeed dismantling the country of Iran as they have done in Iraq and as they have long projected to do throughout the region. We will join with Israel building on last year's U.S.-Israel Energy Cooperation Act to deepen our partnership to develop sources of energy and increasing scientific collaboration. The surest way to increase our leverage in the long term is to stop bankrolling this Iranian regime. But let there be no doubt, I will always keep the threat of military action on the table. We will defend our security and our ally Israel, and there may be no alternatives to confrontation. If we must use military force, we are more likely to succeed with far greater support at home if we have exhausted our diplomatic efforts. Do you see the charade? He says, as members of APEC, you have helped advance a bipartisan consensus to support and defend our ally Israel. Today on Capitol Hill, you will be meeting with members of Congress and spreading the word. We are here because of more than policy. We are here because the values we hold dear are deeply embedded in the story of Israel. This is Barack Obama's articulation of the relationship between Zionism and imperialism, and they are in lockstep. He says, we are like the lips to the teeth. This work includes a shared commitment. We know we must do more than stand still. Now is the time to be vigilant in facing down every foe as we move forward. Now is the time to stand by Israel as it writes the next chapter in its extraordinary journal. Now is the time to join together in this work of repairing this world. That is Barack Obama before APEC. That is the agenda of imperialism, and that is the formula for expanded war, for nonstop repression. The Bush era will look like a soft interregnum when this apparatus is in command.
From decades of struggle and the terrible wake of the Holocaust, a nation was forged to provide a home for Jews from all corners of the world, from Syria to Ethiopia to the Soviet Union. In the face of constant threats, Israel has triumph. In the face of constant peril, Israel has prospered. In a state of constant insecurity, Israel has maintained a vibrant and open discourse and a resilient commitment to the rule of law. These are the words of Barack Obama. These are the words that sustain the Zionist project. These are the words that sustain the relationship of Zionism and imperialism with the Zionists as the shock troops in the Middle East for the imperialists. And remember also, it is the Zionists who collaborated with the apartheid state. It is the Zionists, the Mossad, that was sent into Central America to do the bidding of the American rulers in Central America. It is the Zionists that work hand in hand with the imperial project.
Indeed, it is the Zionist apparatus in the region, the functioning of the Israeli state, which articulates and develops the stratagem and the ideology of a war against terror. Israel is facing terrorism. Israel is engaged in a war against terror. American imperialism adopts the terror menace as the replacement for the subversive communist menace as the ideological rationale for a permanent occupation of other countries.
This is Taking Aim with
Rav Sherman
and Maya Schoen. Our program today, Barack Obama, not a dime's worth of difference. Ralph?
Maya, on June 15th, an important article was published in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. Obama, McCain, aides agree. Israel and the U.S. must discuss strike on Iran. The Washington Institute's Task Force on U.S.-Israeli Relations recommends an elaborated strategic discussion. Senior advisors to the campaigns have endorsed this statement. The Washington Institute for Near East Policy has published the final version of a report by the Task Force on the Future of U.S.-Israel Relations. The title, How to Deepen U.S.-Israeli Cooperation on the Iranian Nuclear Challenge. No less appealing, says Shmuel Rosner, the Haaretz correspondent in this article, no less appealing is the list of people endorsing this report. Tony Lake and Susan Rice of the Obama campaign, Vin Weber and James Woolsey of the McCain camp. Now, brothers and sisters, Anthony Lake is one of the national security consultants and guides to both Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. of the Clinton regime. He is the point man, along with the Brzezinski brothers, for Barack Obama. As to Vin Weber and James Woolsey is one of the principal spokespersons for the Project for the New American Century. This is the neocon apparatus. These are the people who, with the Zionist apparatus and the Mossad, as we have so often documented, are the authors of the attacks on the World Trade Center in 2001, as they were on the World Trade Center in 1993. These people are engaged in what can only be called treason at the top. This is the ruling class. Ruthless, relentless, ultimately deceptive. And here, in this articulation by Haaretz, we see that Obama and McCain and their key national security aides are on the same page, working out the same agenda, elaborating the same strategy.
Ralph James Woolsey is the author of World War IV. We did an entire series about the premise of World War IV and also about taking out the Saudis and the expansion of the war in Iraq. I suggest people go to our Taking Aim website and refer back to that entire series some years ago about the thoughts, the premise, and the intended actions proposed by James Woolsey.
And in this article, and I think it's very important here that we understand that the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, which authorizes Haaretz to articulate that the Obama and McCain security aides have agreed, Israel and the United States are going to now prepare a strike on Iran. Who are these people? Dennis Ross, former Middle East peace envoy, Rob Satlot, were the two who made this happen. But the list of endorsers includes the important people, Haaretz states, those close to the presidential campaign. They include former counterterrorism advisor Richard Clark, who is a critic of the Bush people from the perspective of a more sustainable imperial agenda. Bob Blackwell of the Council on Foreign Relations, former Senator Bob Kerry, and others. Now, these are the people, notably Senator Bob Kerry, of the 9/11 Commission. The entire fence of the official fiction about 9/11 and the assimilation of the attacks on September 11th to every single false flag operation of Israel and the United States of the previous decades. These people, the article in the Haaretz says, raise concerns regarding the depth and content of the U.S. strategic dialogue. They state the dialogue must be enhanced because of the challenge to Iran. Obama and McCain advisors agree, I'm quoting, U.S.-Israel will prepare preventive military action against Iran. Achieving peace between Israelis and Arabs while Iran is going nuclear is difficult. Our collective ability to wage peace or prevent conflict will be shaped by the success of stopping Iran's nuclear ambitions.
Ralph, we will discuss these reports in full on another Taking Aim show. It's important to note that the expression preventive military action is exactly the same notion as President Bush articulated in the beginning of his term as presidency, and this was that the U.S. has the right to go in and take military action before it is attacked.
Now, Maya, I want to end this article. We will detail, as you say, at a later time, but I think it's important to read the final paragraph of this important article. This is the document signed by the two most senior advisors to Barack Obama. Quote, the president will begin a national conversation with the American people on the challenges and risks posed to U.S. interests by the Iranian acquisition of a nuclear weapons capability and on the ways we need to prevent it. We are going to raise popular awareness of the fact that Iran's nuclear ambitions will trigger a surge of nuclear proliferation and raise the potential of terrorists gaining nuclear weapons, unquote. And the article in the Haaretz concludes, this is not saber-rattling. It is facing reality, quote, unquote. That is the reality, all right, brothers and sisters. Tighten your seatbelts. After Barack Obama, prepare for an ever-expanded war in the region.
Ralph, this is exactly what they are proposing. They are proposing setting up the American people for a strike against Iran. We've done programming about President Bush's intended strike against Iran. Should it not take place during the Bush administration, Obama's advisors are strongly suggesting that it should take place during his administration. Quote, the president should begin a national conversation with the American people on the challenges, risks, and dilemmas posed to the United States' interests by the potential Iranian acquisition of a nuclear weapons capability, on ways to prevent it, to raise popular awareness of the fact that Iran's nuclear ambitions are likely to trigger a surge of nuclear proliferation, and they raise the potential of terrorists gaining nuclear weapons. As you've been saying, we have to reiterate, we have to state over and over again, both Ralph and I, these statements of the supporters, the advisors of Barack Obama, and the intention. And this was made clear in the Wall Street Journal with the publication of an opinion piece by Timothy Lynch and Robert Singh on June 2, 2008. Lynch and Singh are academics at the University of London and the authors of, quote, After Bush, The Case for Continuity in American Foreign Policy, published by Cambridge University Press in 2008. As Lynch and Singh write in the Wall Street Journal, none of the main candidates has disavowed the war on terror. Each has called Mr. Bush tactically deficient. But the debate over the war on terror is over how, where, and when. The candidates have all argued that they would do a better job of fighting it. And they go on to say, President Bush's purported obsession with Baghdad began in the hawkish stagecraft of Vice President Al Gore. In 1998, Bill Clinton made regime change official U.S. policy, and in 2003, Mr. Bush made it a reality. The last great liberal hope to win the White House, Bill Clinton, committed more troops to more parts of the globe than any president since World War II. Since the end of the Cold War, America has undertaken at least 9 military interventions overseas under 3 presidents of both parties in 2 distinct historical eras, pre and post 9/11. History suggests that the next great liberal hope, Mr. Obama or Mrs. Clinton, would probably continue the trend. Ralph?
Want more George W. Bush foreign policy? The Wall Street Journal article begins. Elect John McCain or Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama. Regardless of who wins in November, the current foreign policy will live on in the next White House. This is the Wall Street Journal on June 2, 2008. There is no more explicit and clarifying articulation of what is at stake here. The number of America's foes hasn't grown under the Bush administration. The actual number of our enemies can be counted. Cuba, Iran, North Korea, Syria, Venezuela. Now, what's interesting about that is that, as we will see in a major speech of Barack Obama, which spells this out in even more detail, Barack Obama, in his important speech, The War We Need to Win, which he gave in Washington on August 1, 2007, talks about 100 countries in which they will hunt down the terrorists and kill them with increased capacity, which is the predicate of the drawdown in Iraq to expand the imperial apparatus to operations on an agenda that the Bush administration has not even imagined.
Again, this is Taking Aim with
Ralph Schoenman
and Maya Schoenman. You're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM on your dial and on the internet at www.wbai.org. And in order to keep WBAI on the air 24/7, we rely on each and every one of you, our Taking Aim listeners in the tri-state area and throughout the world. 212-209-2950. Get on the phone right away. Our gift to you, Barack Obama, false hope and short Exchange is a jam-packed CD with 13 episodes, highly edited, as you can see from what you can hear from what you just heard, Barack Obama, False Hope and Short Change. The number to call, 212-209-2950. It's your last opportunity. We have only a few minutes left, and I don't hear any one of the phones ringing. We have people, we have volunteers who've come down to the WBAI studios to take your call, to talk to you, to assist you. This is over 11 hours of programming. 11 hours of programming in the MP3 format enables us to provide 13 shows, 13 jam-packed shows. We played only excerpts over the past several weeks. That's all you've heard, excerpts. Not going to get this anywhere else. 212-209-2950. Who's going to be the first to call? Let's have the, there you are. Thank you very much for calling in. Again, 212-209-2950. Let's get 5-6 people on the line to start and keep the momentum going. Again, this is our last opportunity. Barack Obama, False Hope and Sure Change, your contribution of $60. 212-209-2950.
And Maya and Ralph, before you come back in, I think what I should do is dial you back up because you're fading in and out, and I'm sure it's hard for me to hear you, and I'm sure it's hard for the listeners as well. So we'll dial you back up. And you're out there at Vallejo, California, and we'll bring you back on in just a moment. There are four calls on the line now, 212-209-2950. Let's hear it now for Taking Aim with Ralph Shulman and Maya Shulman. Now, that's five calls on the line now for this program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. If you are waiting for this program and you're waiting for an opportunity to make that call to pledge your support to WBAI for Ralph Shulman and Maya Shone, now is the time. Take this opportunity, won't you, before you leave work, if you're leaving home on your way to work. Many of you are doing just that, or on your way to work right now. Take this opportunity to call Taking Aim with Ralph Shulman and Maya Shone on WBAI. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. We have six calls on the line now for Taking Aim. Let's hear from you. Now that's seven calls on the line for Taking Aim with Ralph Shulman and Maya Shone. Don't let us down. Thank you so very, very much. Okay, well, we have Ralph Shulman and Maya Shone back with us on the line. I hope this line is a little clearer. Ralph and Maya, we have four calls on the line now. We're waiting for you if you're listening to us in New Jersey, if you're listening to us in Queens, if you're listening to us in Harlem and Brooklyn or the Bronx. Let us hear from you now. 212-209-2950. Ralph and Maya.
And also, Michael, if you're listening to us in California, if you're listening to us in Washington or Oregon or Wyoming, Kansas, Virginia, Florida, Connecticut, New Hampshire, Vermont, everywhere across the United States, you can call us at 212-209-2950. Most people today have long-distance services where it doesn't cost any more to call New York than it does to call anywhere in the United States. So again, call now. This is the moment. This is the opportunity, and this is your last chance. Barack Obama, False Hope and Sure Change, your $60 contribution, 212-209-2950. As you know, we have intense preparation, documentation that we go through every week to prepare each and every show. Unique opportunity. Ralph?
Maya, the events of today's newspaper are clarified by the 13-part program that we are putting on this CD. The analysis and the documentation of what Obama was preparing, what he represents, with whom he was working, is all a means through which we can grasp, understand, and project the direction of this administration's imperial reign. In today's newspaper, U.S. Envoy Moyo Mull's job as Afghan CEO. This is Zalmay Khalilzad. Brothers and sisters, on April 1st, he appeared in Israel, and he was interviewed by Haaretz as he conferred with the Israelis to coordinate plans. Iran is seeking influence in Afghanistan to gain leverage over the U.S. is the headline of the Haaretz newspaper on April 1st. Zalmay Khalilzad tells Haaretz, when asked about rumors will become president of Afghanistan, Zalmay Khalilzad bursts into laughter. I thought I was going to become emperor of Iraq, he said, sitting at his new office at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He says, over the last decade, Khalilzad served three of the toughest jobs in American diplomacy, ambassador to Afghanistan, Bush's ambassador to Iraq, and the United Nations. And brothers and sisters, he is working in conjunction with who? Mr. McChrystal. Mr. McChrystal, a West Pointer who became a Green Beret not long after graduation, a platoon leader in the 82nd Airborne, director of staff at the Pentagon, was in charge of the classified Joint Special Operations Command, an elite unit, we're told by the New York Times, that was so clandestine the Pentagon for years refused to acknowledge its existence. It reported to whom? Directly to Dick Cheney. It was an assassination operation. He has been put in charge of policy in Afghanistan and the forward actions in Pakistan. His collaborator, Khalilzad, will become the de facto ruler of Afghanistan, marginalizing Karzai, their puppet, because Karzai objected to the continued onslaught against the civilian population, all laid out in the documentation of this CD, brothers and sisters. Today's news is but the encapsulation of the critique, of the data, of the analysis, of the projections that this CD affords. There is much more that we will go on to discuss in future programs of Taking Aim, but this is the synthesis of what Obama represents, the class forces for whom he speaks, and the criminal, or what can I call them, the killers, the killer apparatus, the murder apparatus of the Imperium that Cheney commanded, that Obama has identified with and joined in conducting policy through McChrystal. The murder king of the secret special assassination units that operated also domestically, let me point out to you, as we have described and discussed before.
Okay, 212-209-2950. I heard a flurry of calls before, and I don't hear any now. 212-209-2950. Let's get more people on the line for Barack Obama, False Hope and Short Change. As I said, every week Ralph and I do extensive preparation for these intensely documented programs. But it's not just documentation, it's analysis. And it's this analysis that brings you a premium such as Barack Obama, False Hope and Sure Change. When you see his administration unfold and you look back and you listen to these programs, you say, wow, what were they thinking? How did they see it through? Well, we see it through the discussion, the analysis, and the long history we've had in the movement for social change. Please, 212-209-2950. This is your opportunity to have this reference document to share with your friends, your family, your colleagues. It's having an encyclopedia. It's having an analysis. And think about, so early in this administration, you can become knowledgeable, cognizant, and able to affect incredible social change, real change, not the short change that Barack Obama is providing. 212-209-2950. And it's only here on WBAI that you have this opportunity. $60 contribution, your MasterCard, your Visa, other credit cards, your bank debit card. Call and speak to the volunteers who like you, are supporters of WBAI. Barack Obama, False Hope and Sure Change. 212-209-2950. Over 11 hours of programming. Michael, how are we doing with the phones?
We're doing quite well. We have some calls that are coming in right now. In fact, there are three calls on the line. That's dropped off from just a few moments ago. Now four calls on the line now for WBAI, for Taking Aim with Ralph Shulman and Maya Shulman. That's what we need. We need sustained ringing of these telephones to let Ralph and Maya know out there in California that their audience is responding to them. 212-209-2950. This is a listener-sponsored radio station, a commercial-free community radio station. We have been in existence for coming up on 50 years in that fashion. That's right, 50 years without any kind of corporate interference or commercial sponsors. You are the sponsors, and you are responding right now to Taking Aim with Ralph Shulman and Maya Shulman. Coming up in about 6 or 7 minutes will be the evening news, the WBAI evening news, so we hope that you will stay tuned for that. But right now, we have some open lines. We have volunteers in the tally room. They're waiting for your call right now. Have you left home yet? If you've not left home yet, if you've not left that office, please make that call right now to WBAI. Remember, you can use Visa card, MasterCard, American Express. You can do so electronically. You can support this radio station and make your contribution electronically. Let us hear from you now. 7 calls, 8 calls on the line now. We can accommodate 15 calls. Let us hear from you now. Thank you so much. We have some thank yous. We're going to get to those in just a few moments. Thank yous are some of the people in the audience who make that pledge and don't mind letting us tell you that we have that they are supporting us. So let's see. Who do we have here, Ralph and Maya? We have Lawrence Milton Miles from Freeport, New York. Victor.
Thanks, Milton.
Victor Osario from Brooklyn. We have Ronald Phillips from New York. We have Clayton Costello from Brooklyn, New York. Claudia, I don't know why I'm trying to do this without my glasses, but we have a caller coming in from the Bronx. Thank you, Claudia. We have another caller coming in from Brooklyn. We have another caller coming in from Brooklyn. Ralph and Maya, Brooklyn, are representing themselves very nicely
Brooklyn.
This afternoon.
Go Brooklyn.
So let us hear from you. We only have about another four or five minutes before we have to take care of some station business and make some announcements, Ralph and Maya. So why don't you take this final moment to let people know that they should support this radio station, WBAI, this commercial-free, listener-sponsored radio station, with their calls to 212-209-2950.
And before I turn it over to Ralph, I want to remind people that if you're driving and you're hands-free, again, you can call from your car, you can call from anywhere you are in the world. 212-209-2950. Last opportunity, Barack Obama, false hope and sure change. Ralph?
Yesterday's headline in Haaretz, Obama and Netanyahu meet, Iran tops agenda. Obama has not ruled out military strikes. Today's headline, Israel will take on Iran as Obama's efforts fail. Haaretz. And indeed, in the New York Times, it is confirmed Khalilzad McChrystal are preparing for an escalation. Assassination units, military strikes, all of this documentation was preceded by the critique that anchored the preparations in the specific discussions with Obama and his so-called advisors, the architects of the Imperium, and above all, the Cheney agenda, brothers and sisters. The joint operation for assassinations and the torment of the civilian population in secret prison camps throughout Afghanistan. All that documentation and the analysis and the projections, which are confirmed in today's press, I urge you to get it for yourselves so that you're in a position, as you discuss with your associates and your friends and your neighbors and your family members, what does this Obama administration represent? People will be hard-pressed to resist the data, the analysis, and they will be better able to confront the crises that are in front of us in the immediate future. Please call in. Support Free Speech Radio. Above all, remember, Free Speech Radio. We want those of our brothers and sisters in the community who understand what's at stake for all of us in Pacifica, in the country at large, to support Taking Aim, the critique we bring, and to prepare for the struggles ahead. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters.
And, Ralph, one thing we haven't mentioned enough is that there are five segments on this Barack Obama False Hope and Short Change where there are call-in programs where you and I respond to our WBAI listeners with their intelligent comments and questions, and this makes for a very lively CD. Barack Obama, False Hope and Short Change, your last opportunity, $60 contribution. We may not be on next week, and then we'll be returning with our regular Taking Aim programming. Next week there will be all sorts of specials on WBAI for the fund drive. 212-209-2950, 11 hours of programming in the MP3 format. Barack Obama, False Hope and Short Change, 212-209-2950. We want to thank Michael G. Haskins, who's been standing by as our engineer throughout our series, Taking Aim, and to Kathy Davis, who takes our ISDN call, to Mikey Yoshida in the studio at KPFA, and to Mark Bilk, our webmaster, and to each and every one of you who've contributed to WBAI and so make Taking Aim possible. Again, Barack Obama, False Hope and Short Change. Keep those phones ringing as the news comes on, and tell the volunteers in the pledge room that you would like as your premium Barack Obama, False Hope and Short Change. Thanks a lot.
We'll be with you shortly, we hope, brothers and sisters.
Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. right here. That's right, right here on 99.5 FM. If you were just tuning past your radio dial and you picked up these voices and you're wondering, wow, I've never heard anything like that. Well, you won't hear anything like this, but on this radio station, WBAI. We are at 99.5 FM. That's 99.5 FM, and you can connect with us always online at WBAI.org. That's WBAI.org. You can make a contribution to this radio station, this listener-sponsored, commercial-free community radio station. We're in our spring fundraising and membership drive right now, and that's why we are...